Blog Talk Radio.
Picture of something you see. To the future.
Welcome, everyone, and this is Deanne with the Detectors Radio Broadcast Network program, the Detectors Radio Hour. And I'm on tonight, this morning, all of it kind of blends in right now. But I'm on because of some late-breaking stories that I think need to be addressed here. Just kind of to give an alert and give someone, you know, a feeling of some of the things that are going on and being said and what could be possibilities. This morning I was looking at something that kind of disturbed me. It was about these one individual called in from Europe somewhere. They didn't say where, Middle East or England. There was no actual definition where they called in from. And stated that there was going to be a possibility of an attack on a train in the United States. And he basically had said, or she said, that it was going to be in the Los Angeles area. So anyway, right now the trains are shut down. And then in addition to this, I think it was kind of opened my prospect to go on my show today, was the fact that they mentioned Red Line. And immediately when they said Red Line, I said, Chicago has a Red Line. Isn't that curious? I didn't know they had that in California. That's the first thing that went through my mind. Well, while I was looking at that, a story broke in Chicago. Okay, on the Green Line in Chicago, which also affects the Pink Line in Chicago, there was a man running up and down the track, allegedly, from 2 o'clock in the morning up until currently. And they said he was running up and down, and they thought he was trying to commit suicide. And they have something out there, tarp, and then they have a SWAT team for this guy. And they shut down the whole train system that works on this particular line from Pulaski down to the area of the Loop of Chicago. Now, remind you, this is going on simultaneously with this report coming into L.A. stating that there's a possible terrorist attack and they're supposed to be watching out for things, extremists or whoever, to attack the Red Line. Now, remember, I said Chicago has a Red Line, but in this particular case, the lines affected would be the Green and the Pink Line. Now, they had to cut off all power on the train track, a huge stretch, in fact. They have rerouted the passengers since 2 o'clock this morning, and the person's still out there, and they can't get them down. They have a balloon thing on the ground to get them to jump into. They have, I'm hearing that they have a SWAT team. I'm like, okay, what's that for? Evidently, they didn't mention this person was armed. And is that a possibility of a connection to the threat in regards to what was going on with the train in L.A.? Well, to bring it a little bit closer to reality, to some of the things that that's been going on. There was a report back in September of 2016. The report was in the Mirror newspaper. It stated this: ISIS tube attack threat recaps. And what it talks about is Iraq has received credible intelligence that the Islamic State militants plan to launch attacks on subway systems in Paris and the United States. Now, older report. That's from 2014. Sorry, that was me. But I had gone into this other report. I was trying to pull it up, talking about the possibility of these attacks on these trains going pretty far back. Not the ISIS, but the ISIS one is recapped. I'm trying to see how this is written, because they're talking ISIS, and ISIS wasn't a situation back then. But you get my drift. There's been threats in regards to rail cars going back some. And my concern is whether or not there's a situation getting ready to happen here in, you know, Chicago, not only in L.A. And I just wanted to put that out there to see what, you know, others felt. The other thing is that there's a story about Hillary Clinton. They're saying that Hillary Clinton and the Clintons and other people in Pizzagate were involved with trafficking young girls, you know, children into sex slavery. Now, allegedly, another man jumped and went into some place and threatened to shoot a bunch of people because of that. And comes out that that story was supposed to be false flag. And, you know, after people had checked and investigated, they said that that particular story was not true. And it was being rumored through the Trump administration that that was going on. Now they're coming out and saying that's not a true report. But it caused such a scourge, somebody with a gun decided to go in and bring a gun into this place, thinking that this was going on. It was a real story. You see, when I'm talking about the credibility of these stories that you're hearing may not be credible at all. And the problem is that we're looking at this stuff and, you know, people are reacting to stuff that's not fully investigated, you know, or might not be totally true. Why they put the story out about Hillary Clinton, I'm not sure. And, it, you know, if it has credibility, then, you know, to me, there's a little bit more investigation than just word of mouth from one website blog to the next. You know, we need to have facts. It's just like when Kennedy Kemp brought out the Franklin cover-up. You know, he did that because somebody came to him, and he launched a real investigation, and he found out that, indeed, that was going on. They were actually laundering children out of Boys Town, and they were using them as, you know, prostitutes and things and stuff, and he wrote several books on it. The Franklin cover-up, look it up. But the thing is, this particular story, who knows, you know, if it's real or not. But we have no factual evidence, but the thing is that people jumped the gun. Now, I am still angry at the fact that they allowed Dennis Hatcher, the Speaker of the House, I guess, at the time, to just walk in regards to the charges that he, as a coach at school, was involved with, you know, sexually molesting young boys. He wasn't tried for that. The only thing he was tried for was misappropriation of money, paying off people so that this information wouldn't come out. And then he got one on house arrest. But how about the lives he ruined these young boys? You know, there was no lawsuit, no case brought, just nothing. Just went to dead ears. Now, another factor, they'll say, well, it's past the statute of limitation. Well, on new facts, there's no statute of limitation in any of these cases. None. If you have facts that something is coming out into light, you can file a lawsuit on it. So, you know, what is it? So it was more important that he pay money back or the lives he destroyed? You know, what are we looking at? What's going on here? And he was not held accountable for his crimes. And then later on, if he wants to run again, you know, who knows? He probably will pop right back in there. So, in a way, you know, we need to really look at what we got politically, and we need to look at, you know, these stories a little bit more deeper. You know, just like I was reporting just a minute ago that I was looking at the story, and I assumed that it was from 2016, and it was actually 2014, but it had the same flavor of attacks against, you know, trains by individuals that were involved with maybe acts of terrorism. And then, you know, and the reason I brought that up is because, again, you know, I just found it very suspicious that we're looking at, you know, red line in one place and green line in the other. Now, this gentleman, I don't know if he jumped off the track yet or what, but gentleman's been out there. Like, for instance, it says security stepped up on Los Angeles transit system after terrorist threat to Universal City Station, Red Line. Now, that's going on right now as we have a situation in Chicago with the Green Line and Pink Line, where a guy is dangling off the track for no reason. And, you know, this has been going on since 2 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, is it possibly tied? You know, is it just a coincidence? You know, people, oh, that's just a coincidence. I don't believe in that kind of tight coincidence, you know. I can understand things, you know, happening, but you have two of them with the same flavor, it might be connected. So that's the reason why I'm reporting it. Now, the other thing that's upsetting me is the situation with these murders that are going on by these people. And it's causing a situation of anger throughout the black community, and that's being done intentionally. I feel that this stuff is coming from these hate groups. You know, the hate groups have been out there for eons. I think they're orchestrating this stuff to cause a race war. Now, here, point on point, you had a gentleman that was running from a police officer. He decides to shoot him, I think, 5 times in the back while he was running. And he was far away from him. There was no way that this guy, even if he stole the police officer's phaser or whatever he had with him, there's no way that that particular child or person would be able to turn and do anything with him at all. He was running. So why would you shoot him 5 times and say you felt threatened? That doesn't make any sense. And the thing was that the cartridge to the phaser, which was his, it was his, it had no cartridge in it. So you're telling me he didn't know, he didn't have a cartridge in his phaser, and it was on his person. And the thing was that the individual that was running, even if he used it, it wouldn't work. So that's not considered not manslaughter, but murder. We shoot somebody in the back, it's murder. So then you have so-called jurists that in their mind, somewhere around in their mind, decided that it was okay for this man to shoot somebody 5 times in the back. Now, grant you, only that thing that he had would have knocked him to the ground if it was live. It wasn't something that was death-threatening. So why would he shoot him 5 times in the back? And what mindset of a jurist would sit there and rule that that's the proper behavior of a police officer? I know it's fleeing and looting, yes, that's true, but you don't shoot somebody 5 times. 5 times in the back. Now, I wish that officer was sitting there in the opposite role. And this is for all of you. If you're at home and you're sitting there and your loved one is out and somebody shoots him 5 times in the back, it would be on the news that that person, the perk, would be in jail and they would be up for execution. How dare they? But it's okay for you to use our pay, our checks, our money on traffic stops, which is revenue stops for your area. Revenue that goes to the building and the creation of whatever they're doing in the area, and use that money that is also your paycheck. That same guy you shot 5 times in the back, officer, happened to be somebody who was funding your job, paying money for you to work in that area. If he brought a pack of gum, he's paying for you to work there, and you shoot him 5 times in the back for what? And think it's legal ground for you to walk on that. And then there were jurors that sat there and agreed with him. The mentality of the people in the United States is going downward if they accept this. Because, again, if it was somebody else, it would be somebody on trial for murder. There was a man that left his child in the car, and he got indicted for leaving the child in the car. And the thing is, I just can't believe this. Now, here's this thing on the Pink Line. Hold on. I want you to hear it.
This morning, take a look outside. We've got a lot of live crew at Lake Street near Morgan. They have deployed a very large airbag because of an unauthorized person right up above on the L near the track. They've been trying to coax this person down. Chicago police have been on site. They also had a SWAT team earlier, and they still have Lake Street closed, and the Green Line is being diverted. They have cut service now between California and Clark and Lake. This is also affecting the Pink Line. The trains are only going as far as Polk Street, where you have to transfer over to the Blue Line at Racine. Now, here is some earlier video of that person dangling from the elevated structure. They're still trying to get him down. We don't know why he's there, but it is causing problems for CTA and for drivers. Now, as far as the expressways go,
it's just crazy. Hanging off the track. African-American man hanging off the track. Now, you know, I don't know mind control or what. I don't know why this guy is hanging off the track. They can't get him down. Cannot get him down. And at the same time, they got this thing going on in, you know, L.A. Fear right now. Somebody called in with an English accent stating that there's going to be something going on over there. And then the fire in L.A. I'm going to, let me go over to that, the situation with the fire. You have a situation where you had a warehouse building and it housed how many people? And it's up to like 30 or 40 deaths right now. And the majority of people in there were homeless. Now, I listened to the people that were in charge of L.A., and they're talking about they're going to, you know, throw the book at this person, da-da-da, this, that, and the other, but and they, you know, looking at this house, and they're going after them. But the bottom line, it isn't a house. It was a warehouse. And the reason why the people were living in there were students that had no money, homeless students. Homeless students, folks. People are paying college tuitions that don't have money to live in decent housing, teens, young people 20 years old and a little older, occupied the space there, but they were homeless. So the place looked like a junkyard outside, had dilapidated equipment in there, but the people couldn't afford rent, so they ended up living in a homeless environment inside a warehouse. That was not to be occupied that way. But see, at least they had heat and shelter. And I've been hearing rumors that in L.A. they've been, you know, forcing the people off the street. They, you know, have put up stuff to make sure that they're not living on the street and making it impossible for them to even live in L.A. There was Tent City. They knocked that down. So now, you know, what are these people supposed to do? They're going to school and they're homeless. And it's all over the country. Homeless students with no way or no whim to survive. There's homeless vets. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day. Oh, call up the 800 number of homelessvets.com. And I told them there's no funding there. They have freeze on Illinois state funding. There's no money for funding these programs. So the homeless vet is out here on the street, laying out in the middle of State Street or wherever, in boxes, underneath rags, because there's no money in the state to pay for homeless programs. But the legislators are sitting there voting themselves increase. How do they get an increase when nobody else has any money? How do they get an increase when they cut out funding or paying for salaries of the people at the lower level? How do they get an increase at all when they're not doing anything collectively to help the people that they're supposed to represent? But we're all good with this. Now, going back to the L.A. story, it said right now 41 people left homeless after fire ravages that building, okay? That was partially the number. They don't even know. And they don't know how many people were in that building. They haven't even finished counting the numbers of people that were in that building. They said the elevator partially worked, didn't even fully work. But that's what people have to live in, folks, today. That's what people have to live in today. because there's nothing there for them in infrastructure to make sure that they're living in a safe, you know, living environment. And it's all over the country right now. Now, what is the solution? The solution is that, you know, I hear people say, oh, they need jobs, they need jobs. You need to have a way or infrastructure to create jobs. You have to have a master plan. You have to have something that is there that opens the door for jobs. You can't just use the word jobs freely like that. We manufacture nothing here. Well, we produce Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola. What else do we have here that we manufacture? Most of the stuff is manufactured outside this country. So how do you expect to have jobs? And the higher-end jobs, a lot of these people don't qualify for because they can't qualify for it because they have no background with it. If you don't know how to operate a computer today, you're lost and done. If you can't open your horizons to think of different ways to work, you're done. It's not just about a situation that you can do, you know, just one job and that's it. You need to be able to do multiple levels of work, multiple levels of work. But the thing is, are you ready to do that? I mean, you have to change your lifestyle. I went to a meeting yesterday. It was really kind of interesting in regards to healthcare. The healthcare synopsis is really horrific, too, here in the United States. I told you here in the past, I had a very horrific car accident. Car accident has rendered me in a situation right now. I have to go for surgery. Now, because of this car accident, I went to MedLife, and I mentioned their names because I don't give a – well, I wish they would call up and threaten me because, again, I'm getting ready to sue them for what they did. I'm not allowed – not allowed to get disabled income. Why? Because the doctors failed to treat, failed to diagnose, etc. You know why I found out? I didn't know this until yesterday. If you have a car accident, the insurance companies won't pay them. So therefore, if they see a car accident, they won't rule anything in your behalf. They keep it kind of like undercover because otherwise they won't have basis of getting their money from the insurance company, your medical insurance. So therefore, if you're in a situation and you have in a situation with the insurance and you had a car accident and you go to the hospital, they won't rule on your behalf. They'll not acknowledge a car accident, and they'll write a paperwork all wrong intentionally so that they can get paid. Now, mind you, I had a bleed in my chest, bleed in my knee, back and neck injury from a Hyundai that was on a recall list from Hyundai. The 30,000 cars, 9 people dead, seatbelts malfunctioned, airbag system malfunctions, et cetera, et cetera. Couldn't get them to do anything because what they're doing, Hyundai, is moving the bad cars like this onto used car lots so nobody would know, you know, unsuspected buyers won't know that these cars are recalled. Now, what are the legislators on that? Are they doing anything? Hell no. Not doing anything about it. But it's going on. I was a victim of it. I'm injured from it. So now I found out I have another situation of another bleed going on. Dangerous surgery and stuff. But, you know, the thing is that these people are all working together against us. You know how much millions of dollars these companies get? Your doctor, all these people, how much money they get? It's unbelievable the amounts of money that they make off of everything we're talking about here. And the problem is that as we go on, there's no hope because, you know, we have no one protecting our rights. So we got Congress and Senate and all these people that, you know, tell to talk about who they are and this, that, and the other. They're not doing anything for us at all. Nothing. But they're voting themselves increases. As I get off this program and call the legislator of, which I've done in the past, and tell them something's going on, they don't do anything with it. And that goes all the way back to 9/11, because when 9/11 came back, I went to State Representative Fitchie's office, and I told him what I knew of different things that they were doing, you know, funding these cells and doing stuff, and they didn't do anything. I mentioned his name here, too, because I filed a lawsuit in federal court about this. And that didn't do anything either because, again, you know, if you're African-American, you have no rights. They don't even listen to you. I told them about this dude that they arrested for Operation Broken Dreams about 6 years before they arrested him, and they didn't do anything. So why are we paying tax dollars to agencies that don't work? And like I said, if Donald Trump is coming in as president, he's going to clean everything. I hope he cleans the justice system. Because the justice system has not been working properly for anyone here in the United States at all. Anyone. I went to him with so much information because, again, you know, not only being a talk show host, I get people intel information. And the bottom line is that, you know, hey, unless you're Snowden, they don't listen to you. And then you have to figure out who Snowden is working for. Because the ones that come out, how do they get out? He came out through the mainstream. You know, originally he was on, you know, internet and stuff like that, but again, mainstream picked it up. So the only reason they pick up stuff is something they want to launch and put out there for you to digest and believe. Because there was tons of other whistleblowers that had a lot of information. They didn't listen to that. It's just like Sybil Evans. She worked, you know, as a temp in the Customs Department. And they blew her up as, you know, top whistleblower when there was like zillions of people, including myself, came out and talked about what actually was going on for 9/11. And nobody heard one word we all said. Made us out of being crazy and fools, but then the same people that were involved in 9/11, they're moving into cabinet roles in the president's cabinet for Donald Trump. How can that be? Some of them should have been arrested for treason. How the hell are you going to be in New York and then do what did they do to become knighted? That's one. And I can go on for another list of them. But they're going to be pushed into, you know, roles, higher roles now. And we're allowing it. Because, see, every dollar you spend, one freaking penny out of your pocket, is going to funding all these people that, you know, you get on TV and hate or whatever. Every single dime, penny you spend that's supposed to go into the tax base is going to pay for all these people's salaries. Then you got the other money that you spend, you know, if you go to a gambling casino, it's Trump-related, paying Donald Trump. You go in his hotel, you're paying Donald Trump. You're paying all these people money, all of them, out of your pocket to misrepresent you and not do what you ask them to do. All of them. I'm not saying a Democrat, Republican. I'm saying all of them. Every single last one of them, even if they're not in politics. When you buy a goods and service, you're paying them into their paycheck. So if they don't respect, it's like an indentured servant. You just came out of servitude, and they say, oh, okay, well, you still need to buy food and groceries, so you have to come to us. So when you work, you know, hour of labor, we'll give you a dollar. And then you take that dollar to the local, you know, general store and use that to buy grain from the same people that you're working for. So all you do is just, you know, you're indentured servant. You're working land and giving a dollar back for you the right to eat. And you're still a slave. That's the truth of the matter, if you want to look at it. And the severity of this is getting worse because we're ignoring all of these horrible signs that things are going on, and we're continuing doing whatever we're doing, and this stuff is growing in out of proportion. They must be doing something with that guy. He may have jumped by right now. He jumped. I don't know, he jumped at that little thing or what the hell was going on, but he must have jumped. But, you know, the whole thing is that what is it that it will take us to wake up? We're financially, fiduciarily becoming responsible for all these crazy acts that are going on. Everything that you're looking at. Everything. From the police person that, you know, violates somebody's rights and shoots them on the street. You're paying for the corporation executives. You're paying for everything. When you buy products or goods or services, you know, you jump on a plane, anything, you know, that's tied to them, you know, their corporation, paying for it. You're paying for all that. You're paying for the mayor and the aides that are working under his behalf in whatever city or state, and you're paying for it because what happens is that money goes to revenue. These revenue stops are generating money for the city you live in. So, you know, look at it this way. You're funding people to kill people on the street. And then these murders, like I said before, I'm looking at them, it's coming directly from hate groups. It's the same thing that happened in New Orleans. New Orleans had, you know, people mocking and saying that, you know, black people were stealing stuff and things like that. And police were shooting people and then found out that they were rogue people killing blacks just for a sport there in New Orleans during the Katrina thing. I was all over that. I was invited down there to film and investigate and everything else. But the thing was that was a, you know, situation where they were trying to set up a situation, a race war, a fight. And same thing with Oklahoma City. To this day, nobody talks about almost 40% of the children that were in that daycare center were African Americans. And they all died and perished in that building when they had that Ryder truck outside that exploded. It wasn't just the explosion of the Ryder truck. People had said to me directly that were in that building and nearby, they were saying they felt rumbling under the ground before the Ryder truck went up. The Ryder truck was just there as a plant. The real situation, explosion, was coming from underneath the ground in the building, just like the World Trade Center. So when the Merrick Building went down in Oklahoma City, it was a terror hit, but it was not what you think. And the people that were involved were beyond Timothy McVeigh. Timothy McVeigh worked as, he was a part of the Army intelligence, and he was undercover. I had John Gary Peeler on my show. He was undercover with the Ku Klux Klan. He was working through the FBI and the Ku Klux Klan. So the thing was, he went in there and was involved and knew that the hate groups were setting that stuff up. And they had people that were Arab names, and all these people were all tied to blowing up the Merritt Building. The same MO with the World Trade Center. These were fake Arabs, people that looked and were from the Middle East, that they got on something that caused them to, you know, go out there and do whatever these people told them to do. Had their families or whatever. I had one tell me about how he was tortured by Yasser Arafat and all this kind of stuff. And he's housed in a federal building right now under Operation Broken Dreams. Now, again, if I'm telling you that, you know, I must know something. If that guy came in my business and tried to steal the fiduciary information from the business to open a secondary copycat company, never had a mortgage license in his life, then after he does that, he goes and steals millions and millions of dollars, not only in Illinois but outside, goes to Vera, and they tell him to get the heck out and go back and give himself up to the FBI. And that guy was somebody that I knew and I had reported and told. And the government didn't do anything. Had they caught him back then, maybe a lot of stuff wouldn't have happened. Maybe if they caught those other people that had reported, maybe some of this stuff would happen. So what the hell are we paying taxes for? Why are these people don't listen to you? Why do you go to them and they leave you out hanging in a situation where you can be murdered and killed? I've been targeted. I've been targeted by somebody in the government that's targeted me intentionally to shut me up, shut me down. And even medically, it could be the same thing because they've been failing to diagnose, treat, and do things. They're doing things that are out of box with my health. I have nowhere to turn other than them, and then you're set up. You're just in a set-up situation. That's how bad this stuff is. And it's not going to get better because the population of the United States is still in la-la land because, like I said, people outside this country, they know what the hell's going on. And this is the reason why they're calling in and telling people, you know, hey, I know what's going on. You know, and asking the question, why are you not, you know, aware of what's going on? You know, what are you doing? What are we doing? You know, when you have somebody from a different country calling up and saying that, oh, okay, somebody's going to be doing something with trains and this, that, and the other, and the way we look at it is, oh, yeah, well, you know, that's not going to really affect me, you know. I'm okay. I'll just get on the train and go and say that that's like September 11th. Everybody went to New York, you know. Nobody told anybody anything in that one. But when the stuff got really loose, people were still sitting in the desk all over the country. Now, if that was a real bad hit from somewhere, everybody was under attack. So you just sit at work and just let them blow you up? Or do you, you know, make a plan of what you're going to do with your family and how you're going to rescue everybody and what you're going to do for food and water if the crisis gets real bad? You know, that's what I'm looking at and trying to figure out where we are in this country. Now, we have a golden opportunity right now to develop businesses. We do have a golden opportunity because the president that we have in happens to be one that's into corporations. And I called him a corporatist when he got in. He's a corporation. So we need to look towards developing business and something of commerce and something somebody wants. We can't just sit there and just, you know, be needy and needing jobs. We need to create things that will be of importance to other people in other countries so that we can get out of this huge hole we're in economically in this country and move people to a working state. And then we need to get rid of all these haters. All these people walking around hating with guns, these crazy people that, you know, think it's okay to kill people on the street because, you know, they hate. They hate. Hate. What the hell do you hate? Look in the mirror. Hate yourself. Why do you hate people you don't even know? How do you have a mentality and not know anything about somebody and hate them to the core because some stupid-ass person in your house some decades before told you to hate all these people? Then you had them under rock and key, killed them if they moved anywhere, locked them up, and treated them worse. And I will say it, and I don't care what people say, the treatment of African-Americans during the time that they were enslaved was 100 million times worse than what happened with those people in Auschwitz. That was a short period of time. We're talking hundreds of years black people were slaved, beaten, tarred, feathered, quartered, meaning that they tie your legs and arms to horses and drag you until your limbs are pulled apart. Who does that? And then pull out a Bible on top of it. Who does that? And think they have rights to do that. And then to block it out of their mind, they say that you're not human. You're something else, another species. And that goes back to the snipers that are in the news. You know, you talk about American Sniper in the movie and stuff. Those snipers have to put themselves in a mindset that they're shooting turkeys or shooting something else, deer hunter or whatever. People don't become people anymore. You become another species. Giving your mind it's okay to kill another species, that what you're killing is not human, of human flesh. So you can go out and murder people. You're dictating your mind crazy things, crazy thoughts. That's crazy. Doesn't make sense. And we sit there and we tout, I hate this person. How do you know what you hate? something is protecting you. You know, a lot of these slaves and stuff used to protect the masters and do all kinds of stuff for them and stuff. You hate them. I hate them with all my flesh. They shouldn't be here and stuff. You don't even know those people. There's some people that you hate that should be your same race. And the thing is that those people, you know, you look at them and you can hate them, but you won't kill them, shoot them, and do things to them or ride up on them. There's no reason on earth some people should act the way that they're acting. I'm appalled to see what people are doing. There's no way on earth that that officer should have shot that guy all those times in the back. Or the guy who was standing outside those other store, one of the stores with cigarettes and passing him, selling them. You know, he had been doing that years, and police officers saw him there in the corner for years. So why all of a sudden it was top priority to shoot him on sight? What the hell was that about? Or the other guy that was, you know, in his car, and a police officer comes over there, and he's looking in the car and feels he's a threat and just shoots him for no apparent reason. Now he has a child in the car. And that can go on and on and on. Or how would you feel if that happened to you or your family member? What kind of mentality are you? Are you, I mean, it's not even, it's beyond stupid, dumb, ignorant. And I think these people, you know, during the time of the Hitler, they used to gather up people. These people need to be gathered up. They have that mentality. And go to a high court to figure out what the hell is wrong with them. Nobody's bothering your space. You go over there and do something. And somebody gets road rage. So it's okay for a road rage to come up. I don't know which one is road rage. I'm not sure if the ball player was road rage and followed the other guy, and he comes to the car and he shoots him. And still, why would you have to shoot somebody? Why wouldn't you just drive out? You're in a car with a steering wheel and a gas pedal. You mean you can't drive off if somebody walks up to your car? You got to pull out your gun and shoot them? And then this is, man, this is the reason why people talk about taking guns away from people. Because there's something mentally defective with people walking around with these guns. Mentally defective. Now, I would say something different if I could understand, you know, fully how people, you know, my thinking in their mind that it's okay to pull out guns and shoot people. But, you know, bottom line is this. Our mindset in the United States is turning into something very dirty and dangerous. And we don't realize it. We don't realize it. We don't care about one another the way we should. And we allow these pointless situations to occur all over the country, and we're okay with it. Our mindset is business as usual. We keep going on doing whatever, and the bottom line is it's not acceptable anymore because we have a new White House. This is not the same political atmosphere we saw before. You're talking a corporate mindset. It's entirely different, and these people that are coming in are going to operate differently because I know Donald Trump is not going to allow his ministers to do anything other than what his mindset is as a head of a chairman of a board of a corporation. Different mindset. Not a politician, not a lawyer. You'll see. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to sit there and allow people to run up on black people, to shoot people so they can cause a race riot in this country like they were trying to do with Oklahoma City, going all the way to helter-skelter and everything else? That's because they're crazy and they feel that they want to, you know, cause something in this country to bring back, you know, white supremacy or whatever the hell they're doing. Are you going to be American and understand that everybody in America has equal rights? Just like in Europe. Europe ain't got no color bond. It's no such thing as black and white. Are you actually white? I don't know. I've seen anybody walking around looking like a sheet of paper that's white. Okay? You have a pigment to your skin as well. And I haven't seen anybody that's black where you can't, you know, you're looking at them and there's, you know, the color of charcoal. I haven't seen anybody like that. Have you? If he did, those are aliens. Or, if they're white like that, pasty white, and hey, they might be the walkers of the dead, zombies. Regular humans don't look like that, so what the hell is everybody talking about? It's just insanity. Uneducated, stupid insanity. Now, when we realize that and understand, and I wish people would sit there and look into Arianism, because I will fight with them all the way to the tooth to tell them where they came from, because Arians are not what somebody would want to even digest to say that they are. They were flesh eaters, the original ones. Came out of the freaking caves. There was an interesting book they wrote a long time ago. It was called The Eaters of the Dead. How the Vikings came up on these people. And they came out and they came in the mist and they would kill people and eat them. And then they would go into these different places and they ended up in places like India. And they liked the Brahmin concept because it was very much close to their religion. And they absorbed into that society. That's when the caste system began. Read about it. It's there. Stop touting things you don't even know anything about. Stop doing that. Read a little bit more. Don't just believe what people tell you or whatever. They tell you this, like this thing in the news media. All of a sudden, watch trains. What's that about? Who's doing that? Why? Why is it dangerous to get on trains? What's going on? There's no Islamic terrorist. I'm going to tell you about Islamic terrorist attacks, and understand this. If it was a real Islamic terrorist attack, you know who the head of the Islamic terrorists would be? The Saudis. The Saudis are the ones that control the Sharia, and they're the ones that hand to God, almost like the Pope. So therefore, if this is a situation that there is anything going on that they don't know anything about, then you know what? Whoever's doing it's going to get executed. So if we were at war with so-called terrorists from Islam or whatever, the first people they needed to hit was over there in Saudi Arabia. Did you see anybody go over there? Hell no. Then it was Iraq. Iraq was in business. The president of Iraq was in business with George Bush. They had a nerve gas company going. So how come it was a corporate war? Is it not? So how the hell did we end up in a war where they drained all the money out of Social Security to pay for funding of a war that we didn't even need to be in because these corporatists wanted to go over there and raid Iraq and get their oil and all their natural resources, including of all the ancient antiquities that was there, and steal them and put them somewhere else? I just said, I'm appalled. Totally appalled. And we're sitting there watching this. I'm looking at military personnel with, SWAT teams and stuff all outside the L waiting for this guy to jump or whatever. Oh, they caught the guy finally, I guess, I suppose. It's hanging off the that line. I don't know. It's just more crazy. Just totally crazy. But I'm just asking you, a question. Why is it that we here in the United States can't get along? We're supposed to be the earmark of what society is supposed to be worldwide. People come from other countries to come here to get away from oppression and things. How come we can't get along? Cannot get along. We fight with each other and do all kinds of things. My question is why? Why? Well, I'm going to end the broadcast now on this, but like I said, I would watch these so-called terror reports I would also consider, you know, watch what's going on. If you see somebody, you know, aiming a gun at anybody, write the report up, put it on Facebook, YouTube, and everything else, because, again, the justice system needs to be more for justice. And there's no way on earth that any panel of people was sitting in that courtroom that should have ruled that that police officer should have gotten off. Because, again, if it was a taser, whatever the hell he had in his pocket, and it didn't have a cartridge in it, he knew it didn't have a cartridge in it because it was on him, on his person. And then this kid runs, a guy runs off with it, and he's way ahead of him. He's going to turn out and shoot him 5 times in the back, and that's justified? Then I think that whole police department needs to sit down and review their proceeding and how they handle. There was one in the suburbs out here. It was totally naked. Didn't have a drop of clothes on him, no gun or anything. And SWAT team came in there with police, and they threw him on the ground, put their foot on his neck, and shot him dead in the eye and killed him. That was covered up, too. He had any clothes. He was inside his house. There was no reason for this, you know, action. He did, you know, he had no way of stopping a whole SWAT team, and they shot him in the eye and killed him. They almost did that with me over in Wheaton. I was gone, and the thing was, they came in with a SWAT team of 26 people with guns and stuff. Sheriffs and some other SWAT team came in there looking for a computer. Actually, they were looking for mine because somebody had told me where the body of Stacy Peterson was. And anyway, they came in there and surrounded the house. I had to make some calls. And then Judge Bryant gagged that case up intentionally because they knew they did something wrong. Now, mind you, people looking for Stacy Peterson. Somebody told me where her body was. Wouldn't you think if you reported it to the sheriff, they're supposed to investigate? Not attack the person. But see, that's what goes on. That's how these people operate. Especially if you're not of the right race and go tell them some stuff, then they come in and attack you. Try to kill you. Do everything, medically and everything else. Try to wipe you out so there's no information on what's going on. Because I was just totally floored the other day when I was talking to somebody, and they told me, oh, well, you have anything going on with car accident, we won't treat you because we don't get paid. So you don't get treated or anything because they don't get paid, or they have to look for some other kind of disease or something you have long term to give you some kind of treatment so that they will still get paid. But they're not considering the fact that you're in an accident whereby you have injuries related to accident, and you're trying to recover money from that accident. They won't do anything because they said they can't because they won't get paid. It's all about getting money, all about protecting insurance companies, all about protecting themselves, not about you, not about me. So I'm finished with my rant this morning. I will be back on at a later time. But this is Deanne, and thank you for listening. And goodbye.